This is the Daily Knight for Friday, December 4, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Geek Swag, original geek art and paraphernalia. Check us out at geekswag.me or our Facebook page at facebook.com/geekswagme. I'm your host, Gerardo San Diego, and today I'm going to talk about my favorite geeky TV shows. I got a bunch of them, but I just made a quick list of the ones that come to mind right now. There's probably one or two that I've forgotten to list, but here we go. Number one, The Flash, easily, by far, heads and shoulders above any other show, especially superhero show on TV. The Flash is my favorite. I think it is a good combination of, number one, it's fun. Number two, it's thorough. I don't know if that makes sense, but it seems like they do their research. Every aspect of the show is thoroughly researched and explained, and it doesn't. The big part is it doesn't talk down to the viewer. It doesn't make fun of itself in a way that it's like, oh, look, we're a superhero show, so therefore we're not going to try so hard because we can get away with stuff because we know you guys aren't those as much of a stickler in terms of detail. No, it's like this show was created by geeks for geeks. It reminds me of it's similar to Daredevil, where you had people who really love what they're doing, and they were comic book people. They actually worked in the comic book business, and now they're making a TV show. I think the showrunners for both The Flash and Daredevil actually worked at Marvel and DC Comics. So, back to The Flash. I think what else? I love the fact that one huge plus for me with the Flash TV show is they resolve the main problem of the show that they introduced at the beginning of the show, and it gets resolved by the end of the show, and if not by the end of one show, by the end of two shows. And I love that. It's they don't keep you hanging. I like where you got a supervillain coming up at the beginning of the episode, and they figure out how to either defeat him, put him away, or at least stop or reverse the damage that he or she did during that episode. They do introduce a new villain at the end of the episode sometimes, or the storyline keeps going, but you get a sense of catharsis at the end of each episode, like something was accomplished, something was decided. I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I've been following it since episode one, and one of the things that bugs me about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is they will introduce a supervillain or a crisis, and it will take them 4, 5, 6 shows, and you think that the villain is defeated or solved, and it's not. The perfect example is Ward, the main bad guy in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Grant Ward is his name, and he's been a bad guy for 2, 3 seasons now since he showed himself as being a bad guy. He used to be one of the team members of S.H.I.E.L.D. But they've been trying to chase him and trying to stop him for a couple of seasons now, maybe more. And it's like, I'm tired of it. I think they're going to resolve it next week because Agent Coulson just has had enough of Agent Ward. And hopefully they'll resolve it one way or no, just one way. No, no, not one way or another, because they got to deal with him. Either put him away in a secure prison where he's not going to escape, or, you know, kill him, the ultimate end. I don't know if you remember this. I'm going to refer back to the Phoenix, Jean Grey Phoenix in the X-Men, where I was reading comic books since I was a kid, and I remember when Phoenix died, Jean Grey died. Just like they showed in the X-Men, The Last Stand, where Wolverine killed Jean Grey. And just like in the comic books and in the movies, the next movie, Jean Grey was alive somehow. She became the Phoenix. And it's sort of, when they start pulling that stuff, it's like, well, okay, where are they going to stop? How do we know that something is truly resolved if they keep saying, oh, you know what, this person, this superhero died, or this supervillain died. Oh, no, he's alive because of some loophole. It's the same as when they go back in time to fix something, which the Flash has been sort of doing lately, and they have to be careful with it, in my opinion, because if they keep going back in time, we're not going to really care. It's like, okay, well, something happens in this episode, it's going to be undone in the next episode, so why do I even care about watching this episode? You know, it's basically, you draw this beautiful picture and then you take an eraser to it. Or you draw a bad picture and you take an eraser to it. So, I kind of don't like that. I don't like the are they alive or not scenarios. I don't like the going back in time or alternate universe even. I like one part of the Flash is the multiple multiverse. I do like that multiverse because they don't use it as a plot device to undo something as much as they use it as a plot device to introduce you to more superheroes and supervillains, which is cool. You have the Wally West Flash, and you have multiple Flashes, Dr. Zoom, Reverse Flash, alternate universes. You have who was it? The what's her name? Linda Park character, the alternate Linda Park from the alternate universe comes in. I think it's just maybe the way they do it. It works. I think to do it with any other show with a lesser team of writers and producers, it won't work that well. But it seems like the Flash is getting away with it. There's been a crossover episode recently with the Flash and the Arrow, where the Flash was on a Tuesday and the Arrow was a guest star. The Arrow and his people were guest stars on the Flash TV show. And then on Wednesday, the Flash group went on the Arrow show to defeat, what's his name? Vandal Savage, the immortal bad guy that takes hundreds or thousands of years to defeat. I like the Flash episode better than I did the Arrow episode. I think it just because there was that Arrow's son. They figured out that it is, they did some DNA tests and that's really his son. So it's, who cares? You got this Vandal Savage is going to destroy the world, or at the very least the city. And it's like, okay, enough of that stuff. All right. Next, Scorpion. If you haven't seen the show Scorpion, it's CBS on Monday night at 9 p.m. I think it's one of the best shows. Smart, very dense in terms of how much stuff they pack into one episode. There's no downtime. There's no lollygagging or kind of, you can tell a show is not that good when you start reaching for your cell phone and start surfing Facebook or the internet looking for news or whatever while the show's going on. But if a show can have you riveted to it, or like, let's say you record it at DVR, which I do a lot because I'm always doing something else, resuming work or something. So I'll watch maybe 15 minutes while I'm taking a break, and then go back to my work, and then come back, watch 15 minutes or half an hour more. But when you're watching it, you're watching it. You're not, you know, flipping through Facebook or, you know, surfing your laptop or whatever. So Scorpion is that show. Scorpion is basically a group of geniuses who are specialists in different aspects. One is has an IQ of 190. Another one is a mechanical expert. Another one is a psychological expert, so he can read people. And another one, what was his expertise? Oh, he's great in math, amazing math. So you put those minds together, and they go solve problems that no other group can solve. And it's funny. It's a good balance of people, and it's funny. So it surprisingly, well, not surprisingly, they sometimes partner it up with the Supergirl TV show on CBS. So it was Supergirl at 8 and then Scorpion at 9 o'clock, and sometimes they switch it around. Sometimes they put Big Bang Theory along with Scorpion and or Supergirl. And then after that, at 10 o'clock, they've had that show Limitless, and I used to watch it, and then it kind of got repetitive, and at the same time, I got way too many other things to do, so I can only watch so many TV shows a week. So the next one, Daredevil, Netflix, just watch it. Everybody's reviewed the heck out of it already. Watch it, because Vincent D'Onofrio is amazing. I would recommend, just if you can possibly find a way, just to binge watch it. Maybe watch, it's 13 episodes total. Watch 5 episodes one day and 5 episodes another day, and the third 3 episodes the third day, just to get it over with, because you don't want to spread it out over too long time, because you won't it doesn't feel as wholehearted, I guess. I don't know how to explain it. It's better to just fill yourself up with that Daredevil world all at once, and just, you know, it'll be one less thing for you to have to check off your to-do list. Same thing with Jessica Jones. I talked about this in a previous podcast. So Jessica Jones is almost as good as Daredevil, in my opinion. I think for next season, they it would be nice if they can get more of their stuff together. They were kind of bumbling this first season, and I think it needs to be tighter. It was 13 episodes, just like Daredevil, but it feels like they could have gotten away with 10 episodes. And, you know, the whole looking for and trapping and getting and then letting go or losing Kilgrave, it got kind of comical after like 4 or 5 times that they did it. So I think next season it should be better, or I think they're going to become the defenders for the next step. I don't know if Jessica Jones has a season number 2 lined up yet. I think they have other stuff to worry about. She's going to team up. She and her gang are going to team up with a Daredevil group. Okay, so the next one is The Last Ship. You have to watch this show. The Last Ship is on TNT on Sundays. It's not on right now, but when it's on, it was. They showed it with Falling Skies. Falling Skies I liked until the last 2 seasons, but they were just running around in circles. But I started watching The Last Ship. Now, The Last Ship is literally the last ship. It's an American destroyer. The USS Nathan James, I think, where they got sent out on a sort of top secret mission to the Arctic with some scientists. And while they were far away from civilization, all hell broke loose in the civilized world and a virus spread. And it's sort of an apocalypse type show. Where the virus killed, I don't know what percentage of people. It was a huge percent, half the people on Earth. And it just turned out that one of the scientists on the last ship figured out how to get a virus. And so their mission is to, number one, get the cure back to the civilized world, and number two, avoid bad guys who like the new chaos and would actually like for the cure of the virus never to happen, so that they can keep going with the chaos. So a great show, very tight. A couple of episodes, you'd swear it was a theatrical movie because the production value is amazing, and the tension that's happening is amazing. I can't recommend it enough. If you can see it on demand or on the internet, go watch it. The Last Ship. The Walking Dead. Everybody knows about The Walking Dead. I think this season is the best so far. It's tight, except for the most recent episode, which is the mid-season finale when the wall fell down. The wall falls down. A bunch of walkers come in. You try to not die. And everybody gets spread out. So they kind of, you know, everybody scrambles in different directions. I heard that Daryl, Sasha, and who was it? And Abraham run into Negan's group. So that'll be interesting for the next, for when they resume the season. So, but that's, I talked about The Walking Dead enough. Some YouTube shows that I love to watch, and they are not fiction. They're actually recap shows, or they have pundits, you know, they report on geek stuff. Number one is Collider Jedi Council on YouTube by the Collider movie crew. So if you go to collider.com or you do search Collider, it's easy to remember. They're funny. They have a tight show. They have good quality. They stick to the script. They don't ramble. They don't talk about their own lives for like the first 10 minutes. Like, I don't care if you went to get a fajita and got stopped at a light, and I don't want you to talk about it for like the first 5 minutes of the show, because I want you to get to the show. So Collider Jedi Council, let me go take a sip real quick. Another good show is Popcorn Talk, Jedi Alliance. So it's a Jedi Alliance show on the Popcorn Talk Network, on YouTube also. And it's with Joseph Scrimshaw and Mark Donica. They're good guys. They feel like they're genuine. They also get to the point, and when they do talk about, they have anecdotes about their personal lives, it actually has something to do with Star Wars. So it's useful when they talk about their personal experiences. And that's basically what I think people want to hear. It's like, if you're going to talk about your personal life, hopefully it pertains to the topic that you're talking about, so it kind of helps us know more about the topic. So the latest episode, Joseph Scrimshaw said he went to Disneyland and he was in the gift shop and he saw a little boy playing with a Kylo Ren doll. And, you know, you push a button on the doll and it starts talking. And Scrimshaw said, the doll just basically revealed one of the movie plot spoilers for me. And it's like, I wanted to run away as much as possible. But it's like, no, I can't. It's Star Wars. It's so watch that. It's the week of December 3. So it was on Sunday. I think it was at November 30 or December 1. So it's on YouTube right now, the Jedi Council or Jedi Alliance Popcorn Talk Network. And then there's a Collider Movie Talk, which is every day around 11 o'clock. They live stream. So it's on YouTube also. I recommend, if you like any of these geeky shows, you cross follow them on Facebook, Twitter. Basically, if you're a young person, you know how to find this stuff. So, and they have a movie talk, useful stuff. You get to learn a lot about movies, not just, ooh, how fun movies are, but actually the business of movies, how movies are made, how, the box office works, predictions and box office, all that stuff. So Collider Movie Talk, it's a good, I do that when I'm getting ready to go in the morning and, you know, getting ready to start my day. I know I wake up late, but I have it on TV. It's almost like part of my morning news. So next is Star Wars Rebels on Disney XD channel. I don't watch it all the time, but it's just entertaining. It's 22 minutes of good entertainment. It's for kids, but it's also fun. It's Star Wars and it's canon. So they introduce characters and situations in Star Wars Rebels that will be reflected in the whole Star Wars universe, including future movies like The Force Awakens and Rogue One, etc. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I talked about already. My favorite season probably for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., my favorite season I think was season 2. It was when they started to get going. I think season 1 was like, yeah, let's introduce everybody. Sky is this, you know, computer hacker, and she didn't become a kick-ass member of S.H.I.E.L.D. until season 2, and it's like they just got tighter and tighter. This season, this latest season, is it season 3? It started off really amazing. The first episode of this season it reminded me of a Bourne movie, a Bourne Identity, Supremacy, Ultimatum type 1 hour. It just going. Or a good comparison is the first scene in The Dark Knight where Joker breaks into a bank and you have that detective procedural fast-paced music going on. That's how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started this season, and that's a very good first episode. Okay, so I need to wrap this up. I'm getting tired. Last one is Supergirl. It's fun. If you like comic books, if you're particularly, I think, a younger person, or just somebody who wants to veg out and watch TV and not take things too seriously, because sometimes there are plot holes with Supergirl, but it's fun. So I watch it when I can. I have it, I record it, but sometimes I just don't have time to watch. So I'll record two consecutive shows and erase the previous week's show and watch the current week's show. So I have like 30 hours on my DVR that I haven't watched yet. So yeah, I'm kind of behind, and that's it. I'm actually the one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast is to test out a new microphone. So hopefully, this comes out. All right. So until next time, thank you very much. Bye.